Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life.
Oh, once my soul was astray from that heavenly way, I was wretched and vile as could be. Oh, but my Savior above gave me peace, joy, and love when He reached down His hand for me.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Praise God.
It is another beautiful day. Today, we are visiting with Salad Vang. His ministry is called Healing the Nations Ministry. Now, I met Salad through Facebook and his many posts. That's where you want to see his ministry. If you've watched his posts, you will see that he's a passionate minister with the gift of healing. He ministers in places such as Thailand, Haiti, the Philippines, Cambodia. His book, The Sword, the Serpent, and the Spiritual Realm. Today he is personally visiting with us, and as I said, people that come out of these type of backgrounds have dramatic spiritual conversions, and he's telling us about that today. Hi, Salad. It's so good to have you.
Praise God.
Praise God.
That sounds great.
Okay. Thank you, Lord, for this meeting. Thank you, Lord, for this man and for your spirit working through him and his wife. Well, we love it, Lord. We love what you're doing. We're open to you, Father, today. So help us today and guide Salad as we meet today. Guide us both. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Well, tell me what you got today for us.
Well, I'm going to share my new book, the life experiences that I went through along with my wife to help encourage people to have more boldness and to have more trust in God when some things comes up and we don't understand what it is, you know, to just completely trust God that he will do it and he can do it for us.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, your new book you brought up here, The Sword, the Serpent, and the Spiritual Realm.
A new book is still coming out about prayer and deliverance. So when it's done, I will let everyone know. Praise God.
Okay, go on.
Yeah, so I want to talk a little bit about the book that came out last year. And this book is a very powerful book that I wrote about my life experience encounter with the Lord. And I was an atheist, a chiropractor and a medical doctor. I graduated from medical school and received my degree and then also chiropractic. And I did not believe in God or any spirits because we were trained, taught about the theory of evolution. And so we were strong as scientists and doctors, very, very strong in that area. So I mocked my wife for being a Christian. I thought that believers were weak, foolish people who needed, you know, like, you know, just help with some spiritual things that didn't exist. Scientists cannot measure or identify. So I was living what the world calls the American dream, you know, having a good life, a good job, making a lot of money, have a lot of influence and success. But it was actually the American nightmare, you know.
Mm-hmm.
one night at a Thanksgiving celebration in Appleton, Wisconsin, I was drinking and celebrating with community leaders because we usually get together to discuss about how to help the community, but we would get together and once in a while and do that. And suddenly, a icy cold fear gripped my entire body while we were at this place, Southeast Asian, Hmong market. And this market has like a club there, where you can go eat and sing karaoke and all that stuff. And so I looked across the room and I saw shadows moving near the wall. But they were not shadows. They were creatures, tiger-human hybrids, you know, monkey-human hybrids, just grotesque, deformed faces with terrifyingly wicked eyes. Some were small, some were large, some were rippling with muscle, but all of them had pure evil intent in their eyes, dark. So I watched like ape-like creature just drifted through one of the men and at my table and breathed like a dark green fog into him. And immediately that man started drinking more heavily. And I watched another demonic creature do the same to a woman next to me. And her eyes instantly darted around the table searching for another drink. So I got so terrified and afraid, and I grabbed my wife's hand and ran. I said, let's go to the bathroom. I took her out near the bathroom. I said, let's go home, you know. So what I didn't know was that her prayers, she's been praying for me for many years since we've been married. I was born in Laos in 1970, and after the war in 1975, we came to the U.S. in 1980. We were sponsored by Catholic Church in Chicago, Illinois, and we stayed there, and later we moved to Wisconsin in 1983. Father passed away when I was 3 years old in 1973. My mother, she remarried in 1980, I think two or three, and I have five brothers and one sister. And we had to fend for ourselves because in our culture, when the mother, she gets remarried, she cannot take the boys with her, only the girls. So we were, you know, fending for ourselves. I was still little, and we could have gone the wrong way, you know, but the Lord had a plan for us and for me, like today, and so I had to walk the road that he paved for me, even though I didn't know him. So I married my wife and I, we got married in 1996. And, you know, over the, you know, years, I never believed in God, but she was a believer. She's been praying for me. And so those prayers had already caught up with me. So exactly like the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we are, there are things around us, you know, there are spirits around us, but our eyes cannot see. And they're constantly at war. And it is not flesh and blood. And it's against all this spiritual wickedness in high places. And so when I saw those demonic spirits, I was just shocked that my whole world just turned upside down, or it was a turning point in my life to realize that we're not alone. And, the theory of evolution, you know, that we came from monkeys and apes and now we're human, it just went out the door.
Okay.
Because, yeah, and then, you know, the next morning, after the encounter, I was just still terrified. I mean, I'm still human. I mean, I have feelings too. I mean, seeing those things, I would be, anybody would be shocked and scared. I asked my wife, her name is T, what must I do to be saved? I'd do anything, you know. After those years of, you know, persecuting her for her faith, I was finally desperate for God. I needed help because I didn't want to see those demons again, ever again. You know, I'm like, wow, we're not alone. So my wife said, we need to simply thank God for his saving grace. We must worship him on our knees. And so she told me to repent and give my life to Jesus. And I said, what is that? And she said she'll help me and lead me. She knows how to pray. So I immediately grabbed her hands and kneeled on the bed next to her as she began leading us in prayer. And a strange warmth enveloped my heart. I grew up believing that crying was not masculine, but suddenly just tears, just warm, loving tears were falling from my eyes. And then it happened. You know, the room was filled with a bright, radiant glow, as if heaven had opened a portal into our bedroom. And it shone down onto our heads, filling the room with glorious presence. I asked my wife, hey, what's happening? You know, where is this light coming from? So, you know, my wife, she was silent. She had already sent silent prayer to God from her heart, you know, and saying, Lord, this is your chance to come into this man's life and manifest yourself in him. So this pure radiant light just filled the room, and the light was not the only confirmation of God's presence. I felt the room washed with such abundance of pure love, unlike anything I had ever experienced. And so at the moment, I was silent. This powerful love was washing away my fears. And when my wife softly began to thank God and praise the name Jesus, when I heard his name Jesus, my mind began to feel calm and completely at peace.
Mm.
I had never felt such peace, love, and tranquility before. You know, honestly, I didn't know it was even possible. It was beyond my comprehension. And I wrote that in the book, and you know, pages 27, 28. You know, in this time, this moment, it was when my wife opened her eyes. She realized I had gone rigid, and I was frozen, immovable, with my mouth wide open. So she slapped to my cheek and said, "Salad, what happened to you?" So I fell over on the bed and snapped out of that trance. So I don't know what happened. I told her, and I saw the bright light, and I felt this overwhelming love and peace. And then I just froze. I told her. Then I paused for a moment, still processing what just happened. And I told her that my tongue tasted like honey. And then, you know, tears just started rolling out of my eyes. So my wife, she knew. She smiled, and she said, "You know, the Lord is inside you, Salad. You have received the Holy Spirit." I didn't know what the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit
is. Yeah.
You know, so this bright, radiant light had not left. It still enveloped us, hovering like the Spirit of God. God just, you know, brought in over the, you know, the hovering over the waters of the deep, like in Genesis, the first chapter. And it was as though the Spirit of God had turned our room into a holy place. And my heart beat with just the weight and persistence of a, like a powered hammer, you know. The Holy Spirit had taken residence within my very being, and it was just overwhelming. It was just incredible, that feeling. And that's why my tongue tasted like honey. And then I started to sob and cried and cried deep, long cry, tears of joy, tears of relief, gratitude. You know, it's just drained from my eyes by the grace and power of God. He just radically saved me. I mean, it was crazy. I was like a stubborn man, you know, an atheist, a doctor, you know, a medical and chiropractor, two doctorate degrees. And with that, that's very far from God. You know, that's very, just more in the things we see, the things we can measure, you know, scientific, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, but I mean, that changed my life when God opened my spiritual eyes, my senses. It was like that extra sense that I never had or felt. I could hear things far away. I could smell things far away. I can see far away. A whole month after that, the whole month I had the senses that were just like activated and expanded beyond. And then after that, it just gone, seeing things and hearing things. It's gone after that 1 month. But yeah, and then, the book of Psalm, chapter 119, verse 103, it says, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, ye sweeter than honey to my mouth." Wow, it was just like that. It was just amazing. Like, I did not even eat physical honey. I just tasted my tongue, and it was just wonderful. So despite my extremely supernatural evening and morning, you know, God was not done with me yet. I suddenly experienced a powerful vision of Jesus Christ, my Lord, standing before me. He wore a twisted crown of thorns pressed painfully into his head, causing blood to stream down his face. So I had that vision, and then as I was praying, and then I gasped, you know, clutching my mouth, and it just convicted me of all my sinful lifestyles. And tears filled my eyes, and I began to weep, knowing he had been, you know, tortured and died on the cross in my place, to redeem me and to forgive me and to save me. And I just had that feeling I never known before. I had such, you know, I had deserved such the punishment, but he had spared me out of pure love. So I dropped from the bed to the floor and started thanking Jesus for dying on the cross and for, you know, how much he loved me. And I noted that in my book and pages 29, 30. And so I never knew, you know, understood, about what was going on in me in the world. I had never experienced such like profound love. You know, my father died when I was 3 years old, and so I never had a father or mother relationship, and to know what love of father love is, and I had never known, and it was like to have a father, you know. So when God's love came into that room, when I saw Jesus on the cross bleeding for me, I was thoroughly overwhelmed by his outpouring, you know, of just my, you know, Father in heaven, his pure love for the first time in my life. I knew what it felt like to have a father, and a father who would never leave me, a father who loved me so much that he sent his only son to die in my place, you know. That morning, I was not just saved from demons, seeing demons. I was saved into the arms of a father who had been waiting for me for my entire life, and which is amazing, you know, like in the first book of John, chapter 3, verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we shall be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because he knew him not." So I did not know him. I didn't, because I was in the world. But when he called me and he chose me and I repented and gave my life to him, I could feel his love and presence like beyond the universe, you know, and became fatherless, you know, like in the book of Psalms chapter 60, verse 5, a father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. I mean, it was just amazing and this pour of love. And then that same night, it just, everything broke loose, literally, you know. My wife, she was in jail, and because of spiritual attack that had come against our family through witchcraft. I was at home with my six children, and I could hear, something above our house, like demonic growling, and some kind of sword fighting. I can hear on top of our house the sounds of, like, spiritual warfare. So I peeked through the blinds, and what I saw terrified me. There were demons everywhere, thousands of them shrieking, growling, screaming as they attempt to enter the house with what I could only assume was vicious bloodlust, you know. But then I saw something else. I saw a host of heavenly angels were fighting against the demons. I saw giant celestial beings shimmering in golden light, swooping down and striking these demonic forces. And the noise above our house was angels taking the fight to the demons to protect us, because now we are in Christ Jesus. So I got so scared, I ran to the other side of the house, looked out, and angels had taken up position there too. They had formed a protective, like, rectangle around our entire house, positioning, you know, in each of the four corners. And I saw a huge angel standing right in the middle of our living room where my children and I had gathered to worship and pray to God, because we were so scared. So then I shut my eyes tightly, then opened them again to see if the angels were still there. They were still there. So I creeped back to my children, climbed under the blanket, and gathered with my children then around me. And we were just, you know, the battle, it was at 12 midnight. And close to 2 a.m., and we were still just singing songs, praising God, because we were just afraid. And then I just came to the Lord, and I didn't know what to do. And I trembled under the covers, as what sounded like hundreds of, if not thousands of demons attempting to break through. So we were just, my kids and I, we were just saying over and over again, it's a Hmong worship song. It's called Chu Yesu Lumbei, like, it's a, you know, the name Jesus is so good. The name of Jesus is perfect. So the angels stood there with us all night, strong, solid, and watchful. And suddenly everything stopped at 6 a.m. And not even a little snarl or the crash of swords like before. I looked at the spot where the angel had been standing, and the wall is gone. So I knew God had won, and I noted that on pages 43 to 45. So what I didn't know was that my wife had been fighting the same battle from her jail cell through the prayer. She had broken through as well. But at the beginning, she was hopeless. She felt like God had abandoned her, and she cried out. When I met her, she told me this, that she cried out in the book, "Lord, I wronged you so much, I cannot forgive my husband, you know, I know I will never see you again, I am already in hell." And then God spoke to her, you know, his voice, you know, she said that it didn't come from inside, it filled the whole room from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. He said to my wife, "I am with you. Do you not feel how warm or hot your heart burns within you? This is a sure sign that I am still with you. My spirit lives inside you." And God commanded my wife to forgive me, our daughter, for calling the police, because the witchcraft that they sent was making her feel like, you know, not herself. And even, you know, the people that did witchcraft to us, to forgive them. And then my wife obeyed God, and the burden lifted. And then something remarkable happened. You know, my wife wanted to call me, warn me about the spiritual attack when she was there, but she didn't know how to use the jail phone. So she asked a Caucasian, a white woman who is not a Christian, sitting at a nearby table. The woman showed her how to use the phone, and she asked, "You doing okay, honey?" You know, her eyes were just very kind, but and my wife began telling her about the story when she described the the woman practicing witchcraft and others against our family. That stranger in there, she knew. She's like, "Whoa, I know this woman. I know these people." And so my wife was stunned. You know, this random stranger knew. I mean, not she knew everything about the witch attacking us, the witchcraft, our family, our business, their methods. You know, even the deal that they had made to the devil to keep them in cursing the people. I mean, what are the odds? You know, these people that are doing witchcraft, they're Hmong people, and this white lady in jail, a stranger, we don't even know her. And she knew every detail about this. So, in the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." So, you know, whether the woman was an angel in human form or divinely, placed a human messenger, the result is the same. God sent her, and at that exact moment, my wife needed supernatural, knowledge about the enemy's plans. And so God delivered it through a stranger in a jail cell. And so this was no coincidence, That was God. And, So my wife prayed in tongues all night without ceasing at the jail. And exactly 6 a.m., the exact moment the battle stopped at our house, she saw an open vision. Three huge angels were guarding our home, and one was stationed on each side, while the largest of the three angels stood right in the middle, in around two, holding a giant sword. A glow of like holiness just filled the entire house, and then she knew it was over. She sensed it in her spirit, and even though we were separated by location, by jail walls and miles away, we had fought together. And God brought us out of the darkness into his light. It was just amazing. It's scary. And this is how we truly come to God, and placed him first in our marriage because of all this witchcraft. Witchcraft is really, really real. People think it's not, but people can send demons to attack you. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have God, they will just come through and destroy. But if you have God, God will protect you, and they cannot harm you or your family. And we learned our lesson, and it was just the beginning of these supernatural things God would do through us, in page 38, 45, and so in scripture, in the book of Psalm chapter 34, verse 7, it says, "The angel of the Lord encompass around about them that fear him and deliver them." Mm-hmm. And then in the book of Psalms, chapter 91, verse 11, says, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." I mean, it's just amazing doing his work, miracles, saving lives, delivering people, healing people. It's been an amazing journey. Thank you very much, Brother Jim.
Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. What a wonderful visit we've had today.
Thank you for listening to our program today. Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life.